Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. We are going to start the party. It's Marcia Cook, and it's Good Story is a Good Story. And tonight we do have a party. We actually have a party tonight. And Marnie and I are doing a party. Hi, Marnie. We're doing our party. We are doing a launch for Danielle Armani, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm just going to give a few little tidbits of information, and then I'm done with that. And we're also, I will talk about that. We're on Facebook for the first time. We're doing a live Facebook feed, too. So if you want to go on A Good Story is a Good Story, we have Bethany there. Hi, Bethany. And she is
helping. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. And you can post a question there or on the Blog Talk Radio on the link that everybody clicked into. You can also call in 714-242-5259, and you can ask questions or you can just stay on and listen, because sometimes it sounds much better if you call in. You can hear it better, or if there's a problem, sometimes different computers. Okay, and this is going to be on demand. If you miss anything, it'll be on demand forever. I don't know how long forever is, but it's a long time on this. Okay, and let's see, and we're on Twitter with Marnie, right? We are on
Divine One. Our hashtag is Divine One tonight,
so feel free
to chime in with your questions on Twitter.
And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're trying both. Twitter we've done before, but we're also doing the Facebook because I've been hearing that a lot on TV. People are joining in. So this is the first time we're doing it on Facebook, and we'll probably continue doing it. Okay, all right, let's see what else. I better talk about a few things. All right, a lot of our hosts are coming back now. They're back. Let's see. We have Willow will be back. Willow Cross and Tracy Ford, they'll be on Friday night. And this is a good show. Alicia Sparks is coming back on, and she does card reading, tarot cards, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You can call in, and she will do a reading for you. And she's been on before. It's at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Okay, and then Bennett Pomerantz is his show with his new name, Any Which Way But Loose, right? Yes, I got that, I think. And he'll be on with four guests. K.B. Miller, R. Radling, Justin Bogdanovich, and P.I. Barrington. And that's going to be a good show. That is an hour and a half show, and it's a discussion about a lot of different things. And so that's a fun show. And let's see, we have Fran is coming back, too, next week, though, I think. And let's see what else. My show. Okay. We have Jolie Dupree next Tuesday, and Cassandra Dane will be on, Elizabeth Black, Bennett Pomerantz, and Bethany Cross. And it's going to be really wild show with all of them on it. And I heard Jolie Dupree on Cassandra's show because Cassandra does shows every other week with us on Sundays. And she's a great, I just heard her and I thought this is someone I want to have on. And so she's very open and honest. And so she'll be on, and with all those other people, it's going to be a really good show. And let's see our Jeffrey, he'll be back at the end of the month in August. And as usual, Virginia and I will be doing shows together. Virginia and I are the World of Ink, and we are starting to do some shows together. Then we have Irene Roth on one Friday a month. And let's see, RJ Jeffrey will be I think I almost got everybody. Bethany, did I forget anybody? I don't think so. I think that's it. Cassandra, everybody. Did I forget anybody? No.
show.
Right. And they're all good. We have they're all different. Everybody has a different show. And so it's a lot of fun. So if you can't, you know, make it at the time that they're on, then just listen on demand. And it's on World of Ink, or it's also on Blog Talk Radio. And we've done so many different shows, but they're still all on, so that's a good thing. And this one will be on demand just like the others. Okay, Marnie, do you want to talk about what we're doing today? Because this is you brought this out here, and we're having fun doing these.
Yes, well, Danielle is actually one of my clients for social media, and she wrote a wonderful YA novel that I'm really excited about. So I suggested to her to do a Twitter launch on the show, and so she's with us tonight. And I'm very excited about it because I'm very excited about her novel. And I get excited for all of my authors, but this is a novel that I read and really liked, so I was excited for her to come tonight. So I'm excited to introduce Danielle to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Thank you, Marnie.
Hi. And I talked to her, too, and she's just starting out, and she's got a long career ahead of her. And so it's going to be a fun night, and if her friends want to call in, they're more than welcome to, and or go on the chats. We're open everywhere. I think, right? Okay. All right, Marnie, just want to say for a minute what you do for everybody, because I think maybe some people might not know all the things that you do.
Okay, my main job is I'm a book editor. I edit fiction and nonfiction, but I also do social media mainly for authors. So I handle people's Twitter and Facebook and that type of thing to basically free up time for authors to do what they should be doing, which is writing, and handle the social media side of things. So, you know, people can do what they want to do, which is produce more novels and spend time doing the writing part of it.
I'm the
behind the scenes person on Twitter and Facebook doing all those postings.
And you do a really good job.
You do a great job. And that's what she does. And you know what? And Bethany is in our chat room for us, and Bethany is also an author, and I'm an author and screenwriter and a lot of different things. But tonight it's Marnie. It's Marnie's client, which is Danielle. So, Danielle, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm good. And you have, you know, a great novel. Do you want to just say a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into whatever happens?
Sure. It's funny when Marnie was speaking and she was saying how she helps. I'm thinking, like, you know, I need all the help I can get because I have four young children under the age of 8. So I'm hoping that this book will become a series. I'm actually working on the second one right now. And, you know, it's basically when time allows. It's just so hard. So that's what I'm currently working on. But prior to writing, I was a teacher for about 8 years. And I just always had this idea for a book, and I just finally sat down and decided to do it. And it took me about a year, I'm really excited and happy with the finished product. And I'm so glad Marnie enjoyed it because, you know, I know she does edit books and she's read a lot of books. So when she was,
it's on a really important topic, and you know, it's a fiction book, but it's an important topic, and you know, it's. We don't want on this show. Usually, you know, we don't talk as much about the book because I want people to buy your book because it is good. But I want, you know, and a lot of times authors don't want to talk about it too much because sometimes it gives, you know, certain things away.
Right.
And, right. But you know, character is like to me one that we've had many shows, and the last few shows we've talked about character development. And when you're developing a character, you know, that's what I do a lot, and how did you get the name? That's one of the things I find really, I have to have the right name. How do you feel about
that?
It's
funny because as I was writing the book today, I just was kind of just thinking of names. It's literally like the first name that comes to mind. And I think with the main character in the story is named Delilah, and I always like the song by the Plain White Tees, "Hey There, Delilah." And I kind of just like, I don't know why, like when I heard that song, I was like, you know what, when I do my book, because I knew, like I said, I knew the idea and the story, I said, so that's the name I'm going to use for the girl, for the main character. So that's how I got her name. And then for the main male character, his name is River, and I just wanted like a really different name and a name that kind of lent itself to other meanings. And I just like that name. And you know, that's
do you do
how
a bio
happened.
For anybody? I do bios sometimes, mm-hmm. and it helps me to know what they did in the past. Does that help you at all, mm-hmm. or do you do a small bio on them, or
a bio on you mean who
the
on
character?
The...
Each character.
No, not really. I just kind of, you mean like on your fictional character coming up with like a just a fictional bio about them? You mean to help you kind of like outline?
Yeah, I do that a lot. Right, I do that a lot because, you know, just so you know your characters and, you know, which I'm glad to see that you did it for a year because a lot of times, mm-hmm. which Marnie has been on shows with me where people just keep doing, I don't know how they do it. I mean, I've been doing this for like almost 20 years. I can't imagine doing a book so fast, you know, because
know.
You really
yeah,
have
yeah.
to get to know your characters. So a year is a good time.
I think
time.
That, too. Yeah, and I think some people, too, they just, like, write a book and they, you know, they finish it and they write another one. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I don't
they
know how
you
have
it out. They crank
yeah.
it out, but there's yeah. not, there's, the depth isn't there, the dialogue isn't there, and it, really it's the sense of character, and that was one of the things, and that's one of the things I said to you when I first read the book is I was drawn to your characters, and if you're not drawn to the characters and you don't care about those characters early on in any novel,
right.
you're not going to finish that book. You're not going to care. If you don't care about them, you don't care how it ends. You don't care what problem they're having. You have to be drawn to a character in a book. Otherwise,
right.
you have to find something relatable, whether they're a good mm-hmm. character, a bad character, something. You need to find something that someone's going to relate to. Otherwise, they're not going to care about your book. And I
mm-hmm,
think
right.
a lot of times these people are publishing books so quick, and it's just a matter of getting books out there and fast, and there's not a lot of time spent on revision and the editing process and the revision process, and that, as a writer, is such a huge piece. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, myself, I know that's, you know, such the
yep.
majority of time sometimes mm-hmm. is spent there, just going back and saying, wait a minute, that kind of doesn't fit, or I like this better. You have your story out.
Sometimes. Even, it's true, even in a screenplay, that's what happens to me a lot of times with a screenplay. You know, I'm not happy with the line, but that's very much, that helped me get to writing better dialogue when I did the screenplays.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I'm not as descriptive as some people, but I did notice that you were using a lot of things that are now, like the Keurig on there for
yeah.
the coffee. I noticed that because I drink like 5 million of those Keurig things. And,
right.
You know, yeah, you know, and it's,
yeah.
you have little details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to Marnie's point, like, you have to really emotionally connect with the character.
Yeah.
And I think that if you talk about, like, everyday things that, you know, it's happening now, like, you know, something as simple as a Keurig or just, you know, different.
Well, what they're
I
eating,
that,
what they're
you know,
eating. I noticed that specifically, and I thought that was good because, you know, sometimes you say, oh,
yeah.
they're in a restaurant, but you don't say what they're eating. But you did that.
Yeah.
So
right.
I
well,
think
I like
that.
Right I like when
scene.
I read a book
yeah,
and
right.
I like when, you know, I'm reading and I can visualize the character and they're very specific and you know, so when I write, I try to use a lot of detail just so the person can kind
yeah.
of envision and, you know, I used to tell my students, like, make a movie in your mind when you're reading a book. So when I write,
You're right. That's absolutely
yeah.
what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And I became
right.
better at it when I started doing screenplays because then I actually edited out a lot of things that weren't important. But when you're in a restaurant, I do think sometimes people do want to know what they're eating. You know,
yeah.
you know, and that's why I specifically like that, especially the Keurig, because I'm thinking, like, that's what, when I go to the grocery store, this is what I buy, like, 5 boxes, like, a week, because you,
right,
it's
yeah.
something I do, you know, they're so little, those, you call them, like, pods, right, the little pods.
Yeah, she popped the Keurig,
yeah.
right, in the
yeah,
pod,
right.
and the Keurig.
I'm thinking, I go through them like crazy, so, I mean, those are little mm-hmm. things that people, you know, mm-hmm. that you're associating your characters with, so I think that's
mm-hmm.
a good thing
I like
to
the
do.
Part. Yeah, it's funny. There's a part where I talk about her drinking Red Bull, and I'm like, she cleaned her room. Like, she really didn't drink it. I was saying that she was cleaning like she polished off for a case of Red Bull, and I just know, like, you know, Red Bull, forget it, the caffeine in
yeah.
there. So
yes, there's
you know,
a lot of
I just didn't make
there is a lot
yeah.
of it.
So I made reference to, like, different things like that. But I think, too, I'm trying to connect with the YA, you know, a young adult. Although, you know, and I think we had spoken about this, Marnie and I, it kind of can cross over as well because there have been older people who read it and, you know, the response has been really positive so far. So, you know, I think that's good, too, because there are older characters in the story as well.
I think it's a big crossover market. Well, you have her mother, which is in the story. So, I mean, you know, I think when you write with
a good
family,
character is a good character.
Yeah.
If you're writing a strong character, it really doesn't matter if they're a teenager or an adult.
Yeah.
If it's a strong character, you're going to find something to relate to that character. And I think you did. You wrote strong characters, so it is going to be a good crossover. And that's what, you know, I mean, I think you're finding that so much more with novels. I mean, look at things like Harry Potter and Twilight. I mean, those weren't just YA books. I mean, those were or tween books even for Harry Potter. I mean, those have just as many
market.
Adult
that,
fans.
I think that actually changed the market because
before
then it was young adults and then it was, you know, well, now it's a whole different thing, the new adult type of book, which are for older, a little older. But I think the mothers are, and, you know, the mother... It's interesting because the mother's a strong character in her mind, and which is what, when we do things when we're teenagers or whatever, you're thinking about if you're going to get punished from your parents or if they're going to, you know, do something. And that's important to have a well-rounded book, parents and other people around. I think it's important.
Well, that's the thing, in the story there are other, you know, it talks about substance abuse with parents, and I think sometimes in stories, you know, parents are put on a pedestal and they kind of, so this book actually does touch upon different, you know,
issues
different problems
issues
and
parents.
Issues that
because
adults
kids,
deal with as well,
Right, because the kids feel that. Mm-hmm. The kids feel it, and you're showing it, and that's a good thing.
Right. And I think, too, you know, everyone obviously was young at one point in their life, so, you know, I'm 36, but I feel that, you know, a lot of things I wrote about are just memories. You know, older people read the book, they can relate to it.
Put you back in that frame of mind,
I think so. You know what, and I really, and I say that a lot of times to people when they're watching movies or things, just because it's a movie with young characters doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
I mean, you're right, because they were young. You know, you shouldn't forget that. I mean, I think you could be a better parent when you remember what you did.
Right.
True.
You know, and
you
can relate to your
adults.
Kids. Like,
you remember all the stupid things you did, too. It helps you put in perspective the stupid things your children are doing or are going to do. I'll tell myself that now.
and, you know, as adults, we don't do always the right thing either. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, you almost have to, like, go to the part of life that you just kind of live it. You don't always think about everything you do, because if you think about every last move you make, you're never going to do anything. You're just going to sit. You know, you just have to let life happen sometimes. And for young adults, it does happen. It's very tough now for a lot of young adults, and you're addressing that. So I think I can feel that the parents, the mothers were like that, because I do know I've had a lot of young adult authors on, and the mothers are reading the books. And that's a good thing.
I think it's good, you know, having four children. I think it's good to know what your parent, what your children rather, you know, what they're reading. You know, I talk a little bit about
absolutely good, right.
I mean,
you've got four of them, so
especially
people say they don't have time to write, but you did it with four children, so you must.
Yeah,
have
it was hard. You know, you have to make it you know. Obviously, your children are your first priority, but you have to make it, you know, when I was writing the book, I haven't watched television, probably. I mean, I have, like, Apple television, so I watch Apple TV, late at night or record a few programs.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it. Like, I really didn't watch any TV. I don't watch any daytime television. Like, if I was out, like, for example, I was at the pool today with my kids, and I had my laptop with me, and I was writing at the pool, you know. So, I mean, you have to really make it a priority, and I think of it as a job. You know, I try to get it done whenever I can, and I enjoy doing it. And I think that's important. You know, I really do. I'm like in a zone when I write. I really like it, and
creating
characters.
You know, it is true that when you are writing, you like sometimes, like if I'm writing, sometimes I am in that. You have to be in that zone. And sometimes, like when other people are looking at you, you're wondering, are you really talking to yourself, or how are you doing this? Because the truth is, you're so into it because you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be there.
Don't get it. You know,
like
my husband. Yeah, I mean, some people just don't get it. Like, he's not a writer. He doesn't even like to even read, which is ironic that, you know, his wife likes to write. But, you know, it's, if you don't enjoy doing it, you just don't, you know, it has to be something you're really passionate about and you really like doing. And I do. You know, I really do enjoy it. So
I love it, too. And, you know, this is the one thing. We're going to talk about this just for a few minutes because this is the most one of the most important things, but it's the – nobody likes it. It's marketing, you know, and that is why you're having help. And the truth is you cannot do this alone. It's impossible because if you try to, you can't write. And, you know, I've made some notes in my own head not to keep saying yes and doing a lot of things so I can write more. I did write a lot. When my son was little, I would write while I was waiting wherever he was, you know. But now I work, but I also have time to write. But sometimes instead of writing, I'm marketing, and I'm mad at myself when I'm done. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. And we actually spoke briefly about that, and I actually mentioned our conversation to my husband. I said, see, Marcia writes, she understands, because
my friends probably have no idea what I do. If you have to almost be another writer to know what you do, because it's morning, noon, and night. They're with you.
Yeah,
and
because you're promoting your current book, and then you're trying to work on the second book. And then in addition to that, I think we also spoke about this as well, there are so many authors who read so much because you're trying to, you know, stay on top of what other books are popular, and you want to really be knowledgeable about what's out there.
I didn't know if you were going to bring that up, but the truth is I can't read a lot. If I do, I can't. When I'm working on my own characters, I really don't want to read anybody else's characters. And I don't know how they do it. I don't want anybody in my head except my people, whatever they are, my characters.
Yeah, we were joking. We were saying how so many authors read some. Like, I actually, you know, I think I told you in my Kindle I have, like, about 6 open books, and I just haven't had time to finish any of them. And I don't understand people like, oh, I read this book and that book. I'm like, how?
I know.
Especially so many young people are blogging now, and I don't know how. And I was in high school, and I did not have time to read my own, like, school books, like my you know, never mind blogging and reading all these other books.
I agree with you. Yeah, they do. You know, I often wonder that, though, because I really could get sidetracked easily, I have to admit. And I think at school, if I would have had all these things now with tweeting and Facebook and, you know, watching TV and all of this stuff. I don't even know if I ever would have got out of school. I think I might still be there. I don't know. I can't imagine not doing all of that and being able to do your work at school.
Yeah. There's just so much. I sound so old saying this, but because in my mind I still think I'm young, and I think that's what helps me when I do my writing, because I still think I'm 16, but obviously I'm not. But I do. I give credit because I don't know how, you know, it's this day and age. Like, it's so tough, you know, to stay on top of everything. But you do have so many young people who are blogging, and you know, it's just I give them credit because, I mean, I try.
You know, before
it's hard.
This, when I wrote, I didn't get that sidetracked. But I have to, you know, I always say how I feel, and the truth is I am sidetracked, and I do. And to me, actually, I've said it before, I think to me marketing, it's like blocking. I never had writer's block, ever. All the years I've been writing, except lately I am, because while I'm writing, I'm thinking, oh, I forgot to do this. I forgot to do this. And then the worst thing is you have to, and I really wish they would stop this someday, because I think that there should be a better way of the liking, because I do this all at night, and I'm going like, I like this. And at the beginning, 4 years ago when I started doing shows, I did not do a lot of liking because I said, why am I saying I like it? I don't even know what it is. So now everybody's liking, and they're not really reading. We did talk about that. I can't believe that everybody reads all these books. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see how they could.
Maybe they're getting like the crib notes or something because some of these books are long too.
They are long. Yeah. They are. Yours is not long, which is, I think that's a good,
mine
have like
is not
144
long. You know,
or something like that. 144.
Well, actually, the book, the paperback, is 238, but it's not
Kindle,
really. It's an easy read, and that's, you know, I wanted that because I know for myself, and you know, it's what we're speaking about. It just to sit and read it. Books that are like really drawn out or have, you know, that. I try to write a book that like I would want to read. I actually just read a quote recently. I forgot who said it, but I totally agree. They said if you don't see the book on the shelf that you want, write it, and that's kind of what I tried to do. because I just like, you know, a book that kind of gets to the point that you can sit down and read, you know, at the beach. It's an easy read if you're going to the pool, the beach, a couple of days. I've had people who read this book on their way to work and going to work and coming home, and they read it, and they, you know, thank God I've had, you know, mostly positive reviews, and they said it, you know, made their trip faster, and, you know, they were able to finish it. I didn't want to write something that was, like, just really drawn out, and, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do, too. But, you know, I think it's, like, 140 on Kindle. This is, like, a new, because, you know, on Kindle or all these readers, every reader is different. So it does matter on what you're reading it on as to what the pages are and what size it is.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it is less pages on Kindle, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, and that's a good thing in a way because you just keep reading, you know, rather than you're holding it. This way, I actually like the Kindle. A lot of people wants to hold, you know, they want to hold a book. But I'm all right with it. You know,
you
hold your place, it's fine, and you could just keep going. You don't stop. Mm-hmm. I do write on, usually I write on the sideways. I can't even read my own notes. You know, who's on my guest for the shows, I put them sideways. I'm going like, what did I just do here? You know, but
right.
I can't do that with a Kindle, which is probably not a bad idea, just to read it to enjoy something. But I like, we did talk about this, that I do. I feel like I'm illiterate sometimes. I'm watching movies rather than I love movies, and rather than sit down writing a book, I really don't. I want to read more than I do, and I used to read. That's maybe why I like to be a writer, and the same for you.
But you know what's funny though? Like I agree with you, and I always said that. Like I would like movies, but as I got older, I do. I always find the book is better than the movie, just because there's
so
many more details.
So much better.
Yeah,
it's
there's just so much more sort of details in the book than you have in the movie. A lot of times I'll see the movie and I'm disappointed.
Exactly. I was just going to say the same thing. I'm disappointed because so much is left out and you're disappointed in scenes because you're waiting for something that was so fabulous in the book and they just didn't cover it right.
Well,
they
cut it.
And I think, too, you have a mental image.
They cut.
Yeah,
they cut.
Yeah, and, you know, do you find, like, I know what I do. I'll sometimes, like, create, like a mental image in my mind of what the character, you know, would look like. And then sometimes I'll cast a person, and I'll be like, that's not how I picture them, you know. So,
right, yeah.
It's funny that you say that, because when I first started writing scripts, I mean, because I, you know, I learned a certain way. I sat in the library, and I really did in the library, and I took every single book I could on screenwriting. And I started learning how to do it. And, you know, I used to write their age, and I used to write the color of their hair and things like that. But now when I do a screenplay, I don't always do that because when an actress takes a part, sometimes if you say it's a blonde that's 40 years old or 29, they'll go, oh, this isn't for me. So I kind of want to make it where it could be for a lot of people because you're right, because sometimes, you know, you're visioning something else. And if you don't visualize it, maybe you'll be able to accept that person as the character, because sometimes you can't accept them as a character, same as names. I don't know if you find that, because when I see someone, and I have a pretty good memory, hopefully, still, I do, and if you see someone and you go, like, their name doesn't stick in your head, it's just like you feel like that's not the name that they should have been named, they're not that
right,
person.
Right.
Do you ever feel that? I mean,
right.
I do sometimes, yeah. And then you say, like, name is, you know, because they don't match it.
They don't look
like
that,
Now, I don't know if you, I didn't ask you this when we talked about, are you making your characters Pinterest? I think I mentioned it to you, but I've been doing that a lot.
You did. You know what? I just spoke to you, I think it was just a couple of days. That was the first time I ever heard of that.
I
thought
that
was such an interesting idea.
Yeah.
To create a
it.
Pinterest page for your fictional characters.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
it's
I'm
fun.
Talking over you. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Believe me, I can talk through anything.
No, I was just going to say quickly that I've never heard of that idea as far as creating a Pinterest page for your characters, but someone did suggest to me, which I started to briefly, and I honestly didn't follow through with it because, again, time didn't allow it, but I started a blog, and I thought that was such a cool idea, having a blog between the characters in your story, which is kind of like, you know, the same idea.
I have that.
You
have
that too?
Virginia Templeton.
I think that's
a
cool
idea. I have Virginia Templeton. She's my character. And Virginia Grenier is my partner in this, and I wrote this character years ago in a screenplay. So it's funny, when I say Virginia, I have to say like Virginia Templeton because this character.
I get confused sometimes.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I do get confused sometimes when you're talking about a Virginia. I have to stop for a second.
I know.
Like, wait. Yes.
I know. That's funny because it's true. Because I try to say
Pinterest
Virginia
page?
Templeton.
So Virginia has a Pinterest page.
Yes, she does.
Your character.
And she has a blog. And I have a blog, you know, Virginia Templeton. And I put, you know, guys in there because she's loves men and shoes, you know. So I put a lot of shoes in there. I put men in there. And, you know, on those posts where I put men, people go in them. Because I this is how it is in the romance field, that type of romance, that that's what they're looking at, these guys. So I guess Virginia needs to find some, too. So
I'm trying to think, like if Delilah had a Pinterest page. Like, I know, like, you know, I'm trying to think, like, what she would have on there.
well, she might, she might, well,
really,
because, you know, because she's young, so she might have, you know, like, I don't know, like, you know, different color nail polish, things like that.
Yeah,
you know,
she's
that's
like,
with the young girls. You know, I still love the nail polish and lipstick. Still,
yeah, she was, yeah, she loves fashion. She loves that, you know, she loves music, and totally, I could like definitely see
myself.
You
know, honestly,
you know,
but I'll tell you the truth.
Page.
Honestly, it is very relaxing, Pinterest.
Mm.
I mean,
oh,
I think
Pinterest.
It is because the pictures are really beautiful. You go like shoes, and then you've got like a million pair of shoes, or guys, or you know, for my kids, I have a blog, Nick and Natalie's book club, and I put now I'm finding things that are healthy for kids to eat, you know, and things like that. It, it's very relaxing. I really, because I don't have much time. I just keep going the whole day. But when I do Pinterest, I feel like you're just looking at beautiful things. And it's
and
it,
I love looking at
good.
Other people's Pinterest pages to see what they've pinned. And, like, some people have, like, so many boards, but, like, beautiful, like, just different places and painting.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has such cool, you know, boards. But I do. I find it really, really helpful.
Well, Marnie,
but that's
you
a great
like
idea.
Pinterest. Marnie, you like Pinterest?
I do, but
it's for social
takes
media.
Up so much of my time.
I know.
But I put on, you know, every recipe in the world that looks fabulous, and I think I've tried like two of them. But you know, and things that I'm going to make for my family that I've never made yet. Right? Yeah. I love those things that are passed around Facebook, like the epic fails from Pinterest. You know, of the cakes in the shape of like a dog, and then the people who actually try to make them.
That's hysterical. I love those.
That's me.
I love the epic
That's
fail.
Me. I have no creativity, so I love to look at things on Pinterest, but I don't actually attempt.
I love the baby posed epic fails where they show the baby like how they should be, like and then they actually come out.
Right.
And
a lot of people do quotes. A lot of people do quotes. You know, there's
a
lot of those pages. Yeah. And
I create a writer page.
Yeah. Yeah. But look up shoes or if you look up nail polish, you will see like a million. I mean, and the manicures are really good there. These nails look great. The colors,
yeah,
and
they
I
give
think
good
young.
Ideas.
Yeah, yeah. And eyeshadow, they have all of that, different kinds of things like that, and the kids like that, although your character doesn't want to wear too much makeup because I remembered really. See, your character, you can remember because there's very. She wants to put makeup, but not too much, but she, you know,
right.
She thinks
she
looks
feels
younger.
I
never saw that
before.
Yeah, a
little girl playing dress
someone,
up.
Why do you think they look younger? See, when I read that line, I'm thinking like, they're younger.
A lot of the book, like some things, you know, I think of myself. And when I was younger, I just always looked younger. And I felt like when I would wear makeup, I would look like a little girl playing dress up. And that's what I said about her. If she wears too much makeup.
But there's those little things in your book that make it different. And I know what Marnie's talking about because the truth is that these are little things that do stick in your head. Okay, and they're stuck in my head already.
You have a good memory. I'm like, oh, I was impressed. You remember that.
No, because I noticed that about that because, you know, some girls want to put more makeup. When I was in eighth grade, I was putting on makeup, and they would be taking me in the bathroom to take it off. So, you know, you can relate. You know, I think, you know what, the world has changed, but still kids do a lot of the same things, it has nothing to do with age. As you know, like if it's 20 years ago or 15 years ago, kids still react in the same kind of ways a lot of times, as with in your book. Do you want to talk about some of the of why you decided with bullying, though? I mean, that's because it's such an important thing right now.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it's such a prevalent topic right now, and it's, you know, it's all over the media. You hear about kids being bullied, and I just, you know, I always had it in my mind to write a book about that. And I like the idea because I don't think it's just necessarily people who were bullied Like you see it portrayed on television sometimes, like the nerdy kid, you know, is getting, but I mean,
it's not that.
But, you know, you also have, and I think this happens a lot, and it actually happened to me one year. I was like in seventh grade, and it was like my best friends who kind of like turned against me and like kind of like made spread rumors. And that just kind of stuck out in my mind that it's not always, it could be your own friends that do it. And I think a lot of times with girls especially, that does happen. So I wanted to write a story about that. And then, like I had said, I wanted to also, you know, put a paranormal element on it because I love, like, it's funny because I was, I think, the only 7-year-old who, like, loved Twilight Zone. Like, my whole life I've loved. In fact, when you were talking about the tarot card reader coming on your show, I was, like, jotting it down quickly because I wanted to come in for that.
Yeah, it's on Willow's show. Willow has a show on Friday night, and actually she's really good, okay? And she's also
an
author.
I'm so excited. Like, I love that stuff.
Yeah, I'll get you. I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, no,
okay?
Definitely. I just, you know, it's funny because I just always... Yeah, I love
the Ouija
board.
The Ouija board, did you use that?
Well, that scares me. Actually, in the book, they use the Ouija board. And actually, no, I'm lying. They did table tilting, which is even a little bit strange.
Before the Ouija board came out.
Until the book, and I actually had to look that up. That was the first time I had ever heard
the table,
what that was.
Yeah.
I did a little research before I wrote the book, and I saw that, and I was like, I'm going to write about that. I think that's interesting. And it's funny, there's a show on Destination America, on the network Destination America, called The Haunting. They have The Haunted and The Haunting.
Oh, yes, it's on a million times a day.
Yeah, it's you're right. Because it's doing well. It's actually, it started off on Animal Planet,
I heard.
It was about, like, pets that have, like, a sixth sense, and then that American Destination picked up the show. And I'll record it, and again, I'll watch it at night, and my husband's like, why are you watching this? He's like, you'll fall asleep, and I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and this, like, horror ghost thing is on. But I love that stuff. And I knew that's why I wanted to include Willow
because I don't know. Did you see the? Well, Andrea Perrone wrote the movie. Bethany, what's the name of the town? I lost the name in my head. Andrea's book. Oh my god.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Anyway, you know, because I do like that sort of thing, too, I have to admit, you know, and I'm very superstitious. I talked about this because we had Sarah Lee on. I think I talked about when Sarah Lee was on Rosenberg, Marnie. I think because I have a lot of superstitions from my grandmother and whatever.
And you did, yes.
Yeah, and I believe in all that. And that's why the Ouija board and things like that, and I see that a lot of times on TV now, they're bringing it in, you know, again. Where they didn't have it for years. But tarot cards, that used to make me nervous. And though, but when I heard Alicia on the show and we talked about it, and the tarot cards are not like they were before. See, I just always think of those ugly-looking faces, tarot cards.
Right, yeah, they're a little scary.
I think so. And it's different now. They have different cards.
The Conjuring,
I had my tarot cards read about a couple of months ago, and they still kind of freaky to me. I don't know if she used, like, the old deck. I don't know, but I was kind of like, you know, when she was doing it.
Yeah, the old deck, I think, because I did ask that, because I did mention that, because I really I remember how they look, and I didn't, like them, the way they look, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I am superstitious.
But it doesn't always mean what it is, because I know that.
Like
the death card isn't really death, they say. It means like
something else.
I know, it's not. Like
change and things like that. I know, but I still get nervous when I see it.
Yeah. I do, too. But The Haunting, I really haven't watched it that much, but, you know, I actually see it on, like, I'm clicking at night. I'm up late at night, like we talked, we all are, you know, and apparently because we're having conversations at 1 in the morning.
We're all up late. I think we're all neighbor. I don't sleep. But it's just funny because I do fall asleep, like, around 2 o'clock in the morning. My husband's like, what? Like, he'll wake up at, like, 4 o'clock, and he's like, this thing's, like, so freaky. It doesn't freak me out, though. Like, that's why I was always like the idea, like, with ghosts and things like that, and that's why I incorporated it into the book. Like, I really just wanted to kind of have a teen story that teens can relate to and then kind of have this, like, paranormal element surrounding it. And what I think I'm going to do with the next book I'm working on, because I would love to make it a series, is kind of still have, without giving the book away, like, that underlying premise of the story, but with different characters. So the book I'm writing now is completely different characters. I'm going to have a couple of them kind of come back and make a cameo. And I've had a couple of people ask me, you know, how how I'm going to do it because the kind it was kind of final the way the story ended. But I have some ideas. But basically,
there is nothing final.
Story is going to be different.
In a writer's mind, there is nothing final because you can always bring them back for whatever. I mean, this is this is very controlling. It's very, when you're a writer because we think we can control other things because we can't. We can control. Well, we can't always control our characters either. But the fact is that people that write get what you're. You know, you can bring people back.
Right.
I think all the time.
Yeah, but I think, you know, on soap operas sometimes I bring people back. It's, like, just silly. But I think that when you're writing a paranormal story, you have a little more flexibility because you can kind of, like, you know, kind of, you know, tweak it in there somehow with, you know, using a paranormal, you know, element or something. But
I think I think it's still huge. There's no doubt. Paranormal is very huge, and also, you know, romance, erotic romance. I mean, they just are. Those are the books that sell these days. Unfortunately, mystery and thrillers, which people love, are not really. Oh, here she just wrote. It's called The House of Darkness. Right. Thanks. Okay. It's The Conjuring. Conjuring. Did you see that movie, Conjuring?
No. Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's Andrea Perone. I was actually on the show with her. And it was very interesting because she's a really interesting person, and she did really well. She wrote a book. This is true, her life. This is true, House of Darkness. And she wrote a book, and they did it as a movie. And I've heard people say it's very – I saw it on TV. It's very different when you see it in a movie because in the movie it's really scary. It wasn't – you know, but it wasn't – it was pretty scary watching it, you know, on a TV. But – in the show, I think it was. And that's why we talk about it. I'm on her show a lot, you know, helping her out, Willow. And so you will enjoy that show because you never know what's going to happen on that show. It's with people calling in. And she did a ghost hunt. And I was on the – I did it. She was there, and I was on the radio. So it was really kind of fun.
Oh, that's so cool.
And, oh, yeah. She was in a dark, secluded place in this abandoned nursing facility, and there was like no windows in it. She was on it with a crew, and so I was on the phone, so we had all these like people calling. It was really interesting because we never know what's going to happen. There is somebody on the phone. Bethany, do you think I should do you want to see if somebody wants if they want to come on or not? Did you see that they're on?
Yeah, you want me to check them out?
Yeah, could you see if they want thanks.
Did anything happen?
Okay, now they left. All right, they left. They didn't want to come on. I'm sorry. All right. Sometimes we lose people when they – I don't know if they want to come on or not. I don't want to be rude if they want to come on and ask you a question, but apparently they didn't.
My mother used to do that. She used to call on, like, radio shows, and then she would get nervous and, like, hang up.
Really?
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, because I actually like to call into the shows and not talk because I think sometimes when you're doing it on the Internet, you lose the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't when you call in. You're just listening, you know. But
right.
That's what I do a lot because I think sometimes you can't – sometimes it just doesn't work. It depends because this is Internet related. And after the show, everything sounds really perfect, you know, and sometimes if there's – you know, because, Marnie, you've been on the show, and sometimes there's a lot of static. And then when I go – I don't listen as much anymore to the shows, but when I did, I listen to the other host shows, and everything sounds fine because it's one there's a minute delay sometimes. So that's why, you know, you don't hear that when the show is on demand. But so, and it's a lot of fun listening both ways, but I do it this way. I do like that. So I'll send you her link, and that's a for sure thing. Okay. And I wanted to ask you, I know I wanted to send you the link. We had Mark Coker on from Smashwords. You're not on Smashwords yet, right?
I'm not, no.
I'm going to send you that link, and I think if anybody didn't hear that show, Mark Coker was talking about Smashwords. Smashwords, they've done incredibly well over the years. He started it because he was a writer and he couldn't get published, and so he started the huge network. And Smashwords is in the libraries now, like so they can download through Smashwords. So it's a good thing to be on, and there are people that can help you go get your book on Smashwords. It's not that easy to put on, but once you do it, it's fine. you know, and it's free to put it on. It's free to put it on. Somebody may charge you to put it in there, but it's another way to sell the book. You know, there's a, but, and they have free codes, and it's getting bigger and bigger. He's in Australia now, and he's got some new things happening. So I'll send you that link, too. And if anybody hasn't heard that, it is on Blog Talk Radio, because it's a very interesting show. He's really what he did with it, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm going to say to you, is which I know, you did not even try to get published.
No,
and,
I didn't.
Okay.
I actually...
So maybe you want to explain a little bit about that, because I think that's a smart way to go these days, because you're not going to want... Even if you do get published, you'd have to wait like 2 years or so to get your book out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I think it's also very disheartening, because I think just logically, like, you're really... No one's really going to get published, you know, the first time. And actually, there was an article today on Page Six of the Daily News with James Patterson, and... I don't know, it's like 30-somewhat times he said that he got rejected. And
really?
I know this is like a similar story with so many different authors.
Oh, it is.
Stephen King,
absolutely.
Some of the greatest authors.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, try to get published, and they were rejected. So I'm kind of like, you know what, I'm going to try the indie route, and let's see what happens with that. And, you know, I might maybe for the next book try to get published with a traditional author, I mean, publisher rather. But, I mean... I just think in this day and age, like, where authors are more fortunate because you don't have to be published with a traditional publisher anymore.
Decision.
You can do it on your own. So, I mean, I'm going to see how this goes and then, you know, take
it
from there
and
see what...
But the good thing is that you know in your head that when you're writing, you have somewhere to put it. Years ago, if you were writing and they didn't like it, it goes right into the drawer. And...
Mm-hmm.
Now, people can just get their books out there as long as it's edited and you get a beautiful cover, and there are a lot of people that do really good. That's why listening to Smashwords is because it's an indie author, but there are a lot of publishers in there now. There's a lot of different people are in there, and it's all e-books. It's not, they're not paperback.
And isn't that why he
e-books.
Created it, I think, from Smashwords? Like, he was an indie author, or maybe he was rejected or something, and that's why he created this... Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
I remember
very
hearing
successful
something about
now.
That.
And he's very interesting. And I tried to get him on several times, but then I finally did, and he was so nice, and he was great. And, because he's out there now on Facebook. It's just Mark Coker. And, you know, and he puts all the tips in there, and he says stay tuned because he's in Australia doing some new things. So they really are trying to get, you know, it is very difficult now because of the traditional publishers, you know, on Amazon and the indie authors, and there's so many indie authors now. I mean, it's just the market is open wide, and, you know, I don't know, you plan on going out to talk? I think we talked about that a little. Are you planning on trying to go out and make some, you know, connections that way by going out?
With the
traditional... To talk in the libraries or the libraries?
Yeah, I mean, like, I definitely would like to reach out to some of the local libraries. I have a book signing at my local bookstore, and that's another thing. I mean, like, the book is for sale on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and there's actually the publisher that I use. It's buybooksontheweb.com. You could also buy the book there as well. But, I mean, I know I'm not going to have my book, you know, my first book in the Barnes & Noble, you know, stores. But, you know, with that being said, you know, I was a little upset, but at the same time, you know, most books are sold now, I think, online anyway.
But you might be able to because
really
of the connections, because of he's got a lot of connections when you look at Smashwords of where he's in now. He's been working hard on this, you know, and then because if he's working with libraries, that's what we need. See, the thing about Facebook and everything else, they're all well and good, but you want readers. Not other authors.
Right.
I mean, it's nice to have other authors as friends. I love it. But you want, that's the problem. On Facebook, a lot of the people are authors.
Mm-hmm. And
they're
Goodreads,
not, you know,
too. It's
and,
funny.
Yeah.
I signed up to Goodreads, and, you know, you get a lot of people on there who are authors as well. I think that's a big part of it, just getting your book out there and getting more people to read it, because I think, I mean, everyone thinks their book is a good book, but I mean, you know, I think that's the main objective for most authors, is just to kind of get more people, you know, to get it noticed and to see if people, to, you know, if people like it. I mean, you could like to write as much as you want, but you got to get people to read it.
Well, see, that's what he was saying. But, you know, that's what Mark Coker was saying. It was very interesting. He said, you know, to get fans, it's really hard to get fans. It's not easy, you know, and it takes time. So this is what his main message is. A writer needs to write. and not to do all this marketing. And in my head, I have to do this and say, I really didn't do very much marketing before I got on shows. And then when I started doing shows, I started meeting everybody and going on Facebook and everywhere, and then Twitter and, you know, and LinkedIn. And there's so many places now,
Dig, and
Goodreads and everywhere. And I myself, to be truthful, I don't really know if that sells books. And the one of the best things, I think, is being, like, on a radio show, because you get out there and you go higher up on Google. That doesn't mean you're going to sell books, but it means that after you meet somebody, if they go look for you, which everybody does now, they Google the person no matter where, and if you come up, they go, oh, this is great, you know, and it doesn't mean you're selling books, but you have to get out there first. And that's why this is a good thing that's happening for people, but the bad thing is if we're wasting, I feel it's sometimes wasting a lot of time on this marketing, because I don't know, and Marnie knows this. I mean, Marnie, you want to talk a little bit about what you think, too, about this marketing for everybody?
Well, you know what? What's working for one person isn't working for the other. So it's a very, it's hard to say, too. What, you know, I have so many different authors, and I wish I could say there was one formula for what works, too. You know what I mean? It's not that easy. It's different things are working for different people, and you really have to kind of keep at it and see what's working. And I would say every author needs to be on Facebook and Twitter. They need to be. And they need to have a website. You know, those are three key things starting out that you really need to have. And you need to just keep trying to get your name out there. And I know a lot of it, you know, a lot of my authors starting out, they're like, well, why are we connecting with other authors on Twitter and Facebook? A lot of people are going to help you that are other authors.
Yes.
They're going to cross-promote. And yes, so it's not exactly where you want to be. You want readers, not other authors.
But you do need to cross-promote. That's a huge thing.
You do need to help cross-promoting. And it really does help.
I have to say, people are very willing to help, you know, which I think
they
is
are.
A nice thing, you know. And of course,
you're going to find some that aren't, that are really just on there to sell their books, and they're only posting sales tweets and posts and things like that. But I would say, overwhelmingly, though, people are really willing to retweet your stuff. And if you're, you know, interested in reading their stuff and retweet their stuff, they're more than willing to do the same for you. So I definitely think if you spend a little time doing that for other people, they're more than willing to do it back for you. So it's time consuming.
Right. And I think it's much better, because I find it very difficult to ask people. And actually, I should mention this, because Fran Lewis does have shows with us, and Fran Lewis on her site, on one of her, you know, her sites, her a book reviewer sites, that I actually did it again last night. I really don't like to ask people to keep reviewing, and I have done something that probably other writers have, a lot of them have done, but most haven't. I've changed the names of my titles and changed my book, and then you lose your reviews. So I've done that, you know, and I think the books that I did again are better, but I've lost the reviews. So I went on and I said to some, because they're all reviewers, and I'm going to continue to do this, and we're going to try to, with World of Ink, we're going to try to do this more where people can get reviews. This is really hard because everybody's busy out there, and you don't need a million reviews.
And everybody
reviews.
Wants reviews, and and we're all,
I'm not a reviewer. I say that right out. That's it. I don't review. I was, you know, and I still am an agent, and I don't have clients right now, but I don't review. But I really find it difficult to ask people. So if you go on that site, somebody said they would read my children's books, I will reach them and send them to them, because I find it difficult to keep saying that like everybody does. And the events that people are having now, everybody and their brother's having them. So if you, I like the book reveals with Lady Amber, and we do some of them, but I do think that those are the things, and banners. Like, well, you have a good banner that Kelly did, Kelly Abell from Selector Graphics, and she was very reasonable, and I put it out all over. I mean, your banner's out, and I put in different on the some of the host shows, I put your banner, Danielle, because that's where people are going to see you with these type of things. And they're not a ton of money, and that's a good thing because a lot of authors, you know, they're not making money selling books, so there's only a limit to what they want to spend. So you have to have some outlet to do it.
Right. I think too, what we spoke briefly about a couple of days ago when I spoke to you, I think you just have to figure out a way of, like, balancing your time because, you know, it's time-consuming trying to find people just to read your book. It's time-consuming trying to promote it on Twitter or Facebook. And then in addition to that, you know, you have to write the book. And I think when you were telling me this, you were laughing because you were saying I should listen to my own advice, you know, for
yourself,
Martha, because
you
were saying you want to write.
It's very difficult. I know.
Yeah, it's really like a juggling act to try and do all these things. And I think, you know, years ago I think it was easier to find someone to review your book. Nowadays it's like, you know, everyone has a blog, but I think they're bombarded with people, especially now with all the indie authors. So, you know,
but
it is hard,
you don't
but
need
I think,
that many. I mean, you have like 18 reviews. That's good. I mean, that's good. That's
right.
You don't
well, that's
need...
what you said to me. You're like, you know, just stick with the 18, start writing a new book.
That's
don't
good.
Worry about it because I'm happy with the reviews I have so far. I have to say I think that makes it so worth it. And I kind of went into this, and I remember telling my husband, I said, you know, as long as I could have, like, just, you know, a few people just say, you know what, I really enjoyed it. It would be worth it. And it's true. It makes you feel, you know, validated somehow, like all that time spent. Because I think sometimes, too, one of my big peeves, and I review books as well. I mean, not review professionally. You know, I'm like a beta reviewer. But, I mean, if I give a review on Amazon, you have to remember that these people are, you know, I think and every author's objective is just to kind of to entertain the reader, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, I get a kick out of people
all.
Who take
that's
the book
exactly
so seriously
right.
and they bash the author, and I'm like, you have to remember, these are just people who are writing, this is their job, and you know, I think you should take it, you know, a little easy.
You know, it's true, if they've never written a book, they don't know how hard this is. It's very hard even to write a bad book, okay, seriously. So you don't have to be, you know, Fran Lewis, she does not, if it's a bad review, she won't write a bad review. She will write a synopsis, but you don't want to do that to someone because, first of all, just because she doesn't like it doesn't mean somebody else won't like it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You can't, when you go to a movie or something, a lot of people like it, a lot of people don't. So you can't listen to everybody.
Right. And I think some people, too, like, overanalyze, you know, and I think they forget, you know, that really it's most of the time the objective of the author is just entertain, you know, hopefully that's, you know, what happens. But if you're not entertained, you know, that's fine, you know. But
and
I think so far, you know.
You don't need, like, 20,000 people on your Twitter account, you know. The only people that do that are the stars, okay, they do, okay, you know. The movie stars and, you know, the kids on the shows and all of that, they have.
And I think they regret it because then they'll say something that they shouldn't have said, and then it's like
all
over the media that they said something.
That is what's happening in a bad way.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, everybody's judging now, you know, and, you know, we were talking about bullying and things like that before, but adults do bully. That's where kids, that's how, the adult bullies
where they
have
get
adult,
it from. Exactly.
Have children that are bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
it is
because they're not nice to people. It's really bad, you know.
If you sometimes see, like, a picture, you know, on, like, any of those, you know, magazines or something, and the things people say, like, look at this celebrity in this bathing suit, I cringe because, you know,
horrible.
These are just
that
normal
is,
people.
Yeah, that's
and they,
horrible. You're right.
Yeah, people say, well, they put themselves out there, and they, you know, but at the end of the day, just because you put
not
yourself out there doesn't mean that you want to be criticized.
You know what it is?
You know?
I have my friends say the same thing is, I know what you're saying, because my friends, because I always say, look it. They are out there, but not in that way. I mean, they're actors. That's just their job. But the thing is, to take someone's picture when it's really they don't look good and put it out there is horrible because, you know, the truth
is,
how many people look great in the morning? How many people look great after they're just swimming or whatever? And it's really sad that people are out there doing such bad. I mean, that is bullying. I think it's bullying. And if you look, if you
it
watch
is,
Facebook.
100%. I agree with that.
If you see
and
Facebook,
I think that's why
they fight
so
with people.
I think that's, exactly. I think that's why so many celebrities jump on the bullying bandwagon because they're, you know, essentially being bullied as well from the media and, I mean, physically and, you know, through the tabloids because you see sometimes the paparazzis in their face at the cameras. So, I mean, they're being bullied and I think that, you know, someone actually said to me, why don't you give your book to one of these celebrities? Because sometimes that's all you need is one person to say, this is a good
it's
book.
It's true.
Or,
it is true.
And,
it's true. It is
but
very true. And you know what? That's what Twitter, that's what can happen. If you keep Twittering, you don't know who's going to see it and who will buy it because this happens all the time. And that's a good thing. So, I mean, that's not a bad thing. So the thing is how much time do you spend on that? And, you know, as Marnie does it, and, that, you know, really it doesn't have to be, like, when people first started tweeting and Facebook, they have to be on every minute, but it's not the case.
Right.
And it really doesn't help. And even now when I'm doing on Facebook, when I'm adding money, it's not working again. So they'll probably think of some other thing. And the events are, that's what I started to say, the events are not working as much because there's an event every 5 minutes somewhere else.
Right.
You will start seeing that as you get more writer friends, you will see what goes on. And it's too much. It just is.
Yeah.
You know,
it is
and
a
I
lot.
Think
I mean, even,
just write.
Yeah. I didn't even know what a tweet was until, I mean, I knew what a tweet was, but I didn't know how to send a tweet until, like, you know, I started working with Marnie. I'm like, I don't know anything about Twitter, but like she said, I knew that I had to have a Twitter account. And I actually had logged off my Facebook account just because, you know, I just felt like it was too time consuming. Like, I didn't even want to, you know, you go on, you see how everyone's doing, and then you kind of go on with your life. And, you know,
that's
she gets
true.
Up to me and
that is,
have to go
see,
back
my
on
regular
Facebook.
friends, not in this business, they actually think that I'm looking around for people that we knew and went to high school with, whatever, and I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't do that. If I see something, I see it, but that is not what I do. I don't put anything about my life out. I just put, if I like something, if I see something on there that's got a good message, I'll do that on Facebook, or I'm promoting authors. That's what I do, but I don't put anything personal on there because I think it can be very bad for people. Eventually, it is not going to be a good thing for people. You don't need people that near to you. You know, I mean, you don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
It's
right,
still,
right.
Yes, it's still
you put yourself
out
there too
there.
Much.
Yeah.
Right. It could be scary.
So I think you're right. You know, see, the hour's almost up, so see, you survived. See how good this was. You did it.
We
didn't have
chatty,
any downtime.
So I knew it wouldn't be too hard.
I just wanted Marnie to say something because I think that I wanted you to explain a little about one thing, the likes for people, because I'm trying to figure myself. The truth is I don't want to keep asking people for likes, but Marnie, tell us why we need to probably do that.
Well, one thing is once you like say Danielle's page.
Right.
Anytime Danielle has an event, if she's doing a book signing or if she has a new book coming out or if a new blog comes out or something like that, you'll get that update in your news feed. So anytime something's coming up for Danielle the author, not Danielle the person, you know, anything related to her book is coming up or she's doing a book signing, you'll get that in your news feed. So in other words, if you didn't like Danielle the author, you wouldn't get those types of updates.
See, right, because I asked Danielle that question and you explained that, and I have so many pages and so many different things, but I always hated to get likes, so I'm trying to do that because it was, when this started, I really do think your friends saw everything, but it's not the way it is now. So I think people think that if they're your friend, they'll see everything, and they don't.
And they don't. They really have to like your author page or your business page or whatever it may be in order to keep up with that side of things. So it's important to like your favorite authors' pages and things like that because you want to know when they're going to be speaking at different, you know, a lot of authors do guest speaking and things like that. You want to make sure you like their pages so you can see what's going on when they have new books coming out and different things like that. A lot of authors are doing blog hops and things like that that are a lot of fun. And you want to be able to keep up with what they're doing, and it's important to like
see,
their pages.
The only thing is though, when they do, you know, when they're doing the parties now, I've noticed that the parties, you know, nobody knows what to do on those parties. You know, if you're on the, like right now, we're trying to get this where people will tweet and Facebook, and it's not that easy to get this to happen because this is not what they are used to doing. So that's why we keep doing it, because I think this is a good thing, being on a show and being able to talk and see what the people are saying. But a lot of people, like you said, you know, Danielle, that they might not want to talk. And I get that, because before the first show I ever did, I didn't even want to do the show I was supposed to be on. So I get that. So we're trying to figure out new ways for authors, you know, to actually get their name out there. And tweeting, as we know, and all of these other things, and being on shows, you know, and I'll have you on the show again, because, you know, then I'll have you on a show with some other people, so you get to meet other authors, too. It is nice, and it's very, you know, Bethany, who is on the chat, in the chat room, I mean, we've become very good friends, and this is the good thing about it. And Virginia, my partner there, and Marnie, I mean, and all the people that I've been friends with, you do make friends. And it does help, you know, when you have these friends that can say, oh, you know what, why don't you do this or that? So that's what we all need. And the people that think they don't need anything, they're never going to succeed because nobody knows anything, you know, everything. You have to learn. And you're just starting out.
Of course.
So you got a good start. I mean, my opinion is you have a good start, and so you know that you can't market that much. You have to write. So that's the first step, I think.
Yeah, I was taking your advice. I was thinking that. I was like, the other day I was like going to do something, and I was like, nope, I got to write first. And I started to write because, especially with the series, that's, you know, something I would really like to do with this book. You know, and I have the second book. I'm really excited about it. It's completely outlined. Like, I know where I'm going with it, and I think it should be really good. I just now need to dedicate some time and just do it and get it done and focus on that. But
once you have that done, the second book, it's much easier, and it's easier to do movie trailers and things like that because Kelly is doing it for me, and she's doing it for a lot of people, and she's charging $50, which I think is a great price, and she puts music to your book, and, you know, when you have a few more books, it is a little easier, but otherwise, it's just something extra that you could put on Amazon, which I didn't do yet, but, you know, just the little things that you do at this point now will help, but mostly writing will be the best thing for you. You know, and radio shows and just
it's
talking to other
too.
Authors.
I'd like to write.
Yeah.
I think, do you find that too sometimes? Like, even if it's nothing to be published, like, I also have another something I write that's just nothing to do with the book. I just find it therapeutic just to kind of write sometimes. And,
I have poems because I did a children's poem book, and I do other things too. But, you know, I'm very tough on myself. I've always been tough on myself in writing. I'm always, you know, I think it's not good enough and whatever. And, I mean, over the years, in my head, it's getting better, but it's still the same. I'm just like everybody else. I mean, I could have done 400 shows, but that doesn't mean anything. I still think that I have room to learn, and I'm always looking for something better than I'm doing right now as far as how to get out there. But basically, it's about writing. It's not about anything else. Marnie and I had talked about this before, too. It's you need to just write. I mean, and isn't anything. Without that.
I think when you write, too, you have to know you're never going to please, like anything else in life, you're never going to please everyone. Everyone has different tastes and different. So you just write for yourself, write, you know, you're proud with what you put out there, and just hope other people enjoy it, too.
Well, your homework isn't going to be perfect
to you either. I mean, I think that's half the battle is getting your novel down and then putting it down and going back a little later and editing and revising it. But, I mean, most people have these stories in their head and never actually take the time to put it down. And actually get it on paper. But then you need to go back and reread it and rework it and play with it. But actually take the time to get your story out is, you know, that's huge.
I agree with that. It's a huge accomplishment. Someone asked me one time, what advice would you give to another, you know, aspiring author? And I said, you know, just finish the book, like three words.
Finish the book.
And, you know, really, Marnie, you know, Marnie's right about that. But you know something, Danielle, what you could do is because you were a teacher, I mean, you could offer, like, to go to, you know, the schools and even talk to the kids because they love this. They love to talk to authors, you know. What you're saying is because they would ask you questions. They do ask great questions. They ask you questions about writing. And because you were a teacher and with the outlining and all that, you could give them a message that would be very good for them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I actually thought about that going back to the old school where I used to teach and speaking to them. I loved teaching writing when I was there anyway. So I think that would be, you know, something
that'd
I would enjoy doing.
Have you thought about writing a children's book at all? I mean, you know, for young kids?
Oh, yeah. That was actually the first idea I had, like, years ago. I wanted to write a children's book, and then I kind of got more to, you know what, I think transpired into a young adult book, which I think.
But it's possible to write a children's book now without going to a big publisher because you can do clip art, you can get illustrators, and you can do all of that and get the book out. You can have somebody put it, and it will be fine. You don't have that same worry of finding the publisher because the children's publisher is really hard. You know, that's like...
Yeah, I had heard that. It's very competitive. I think everyone wants to write a children's book.
You know, it all is. You know, and I'm actually not that competitive, so I just like to enjoy what I'm doing. That's why I decided to just have my shows and do my writing and Stay off the computer, which is not happening, though. It's the one thing I haven't got yet, but I'm working on it. All right, so, Marnie, anything else that you'd want to talk about before we go? Or
no, just I want to, you know, give out Danielle's website is
okay.
DanielleRMani.com. She's also on Facebook and Twitter. You can find her on Facebook and definitely like her page. And, you know, just wanted to say that I definitely recommend her novel. I was very excited reading it. It was a lot of fun. Couldn't put it
down. You know, and also the interview. If you send me the interview, I'll put it out on the blog, the interview you did on your site.
Yep.
Okay. And then Marnie will send that to me and Danielle. Then you can, you know, I'll put it out and I'll send you the link so you can see it, you know, because.
Okay, great. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, that's what people
and I just
do.
Want to say, I don't know
things.
If anyone's.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Done.
Me or you? No, I was just going to say, I don't know if anyone's in the New York area, but August 23rd, I'm doing book signing at 1 o'clock at I'm in Pleasantville, Westchester County. It's about 25 minutes outside of New York City, and it's 10 Washington Avenue, and it's called the Village Bookstore in Pleasantville, New York, and that's August 23rd at 1 o'clock if anyone
You'll
is interested
have fun doing that.
For book
you
signing.
You will have fun. You know what? Because people really like to talk to authors, and that's why these bookstores really are making a mistake by not having a lot of authors, because regular people who don't write love talking to authors. They do.
Yeah.
You know. And
Yeah. It's funny because people do ask me a lot of questions, you know, like, oh, you wrote a book, and, you know, they're just interested in it. And, you know, even if they don't like, you know, paranormal YA, they'll ask me a lot of questions. So,
But I think, you know, paranormal YA, it's a story, you know. I mean, I think they just don't get actually paranormal. They just think it's going to be so weird and way out. It's not. Your book is not like that.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people think paranormal and they, you know, jump to one spectrum. I think a book can have elements of paranormal and not be, you know, way out there too.
Well, how about like The Wizard of Oz that your daughter? How about like The Wizard of Oz your daughter's in?
Oh God, I've seen The Wizard of Oz now.
Okay.
I'm on 9 times and I have 3 more shows. 3 more shows, and I probably will never get Ding Dong, The Witch is Dead out of my head.
I think every writer loves
Saturday.
That. Don't you think every writer loves that book? I think every writer loves that book.
It's a fabulous show. It's been a lot of fun, but I'm backstage with 35 munchkins for most of it, so it's maybe not as much fun for me, but, it's going well.
All right, on the tweet, they can look at see if there's any tweets. And Bethany, are you still with us? Hello, Bethany. Hi.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm so happy when you're here, even if you're not, just there, okay? It's been a long year without you. What can I tell you? All right, and Danielle, I hope you had a good time, and I hope your friends had a good time. And if you need any help, just let me know. And Marnie and I are always here. We are here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Morning,
thank you for
noon, and night.
Thank you for
morning
your
noon, and night.
Help.
Yeah. All right. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you
all. Thank you so much.
And thank you all for listening. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.